Joy in the Midst of Adversity. A compilation.
Adversity and discouragement seem to go hand in hand. Whether they come in the form of a hard medical diagnosis, some sort of family crisis, financial troubles, addiction and dysfunctional behaviors, or a worldwide pandemic, tough times can zap our strength, courage, and resolve, and can leave us feeling exhausted and defeated. Thinking back on this past year, I've had to admit that I've been pushed and stretched in a lot of different ways that I didn't expect nor want. And while I wouldn't have chosen it myself, I don't think any of us would have either. One undeniable fruit of this tough time has been that it's forced me to press into the Lord. It's taught me again just how much God is aware of our situation, how He works in the midst of it all, and how He gives us what we need to grow more into the image of Jesus. I learned the Lord's Prayer as I grew up in the church, and recited the prayer along with everybody else. For a long time, I didn't really understand what I was praying, and got some of the words wrong. But as I've grown in my relationship with Jesus, that prayer has come to mean more and more to me. Your kingdom come, not mine. Your will be done, not mine. Help me forgive those I need to forgive. Lead me not into temptation. And, my favorite part, give us today our daily bread, or in other words, Lord, sustain me today with what I need. This prayer has been a rock of His truth to lean on in these hard times. But one thing I never noticed before is one of the reasons Jesus encourages us to pray this prayer. In Matthew 6:8, Jesus tells us this before introducing the Lord's Prayer. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. God sees me. God sees you. He knows the burdens we carry and what we need to sustain us today. What a sweet promise, especially in the midst of our attempts to live as broken people in this broken, messed up world. Because God sees and knows us, we can pray, Your kingdom come, not mine. Your will be done, not mine. Help me forgive those I need to forgive. Lead me not into temptation. God, give me today what I need to sustain me as I follow You. Praying this way frees us from our need to control the outside situations we face, and allows us to simply trust and follow our good Heavenly Father. Andy Petrie. Job was one who experienced great sorrow and sadness through no fault of his own. His wealth and 10 children were all taken from him at one time, leaving him sitting on an ash heap, covered in boils and sores. To add to his misery, his 3 friends came to comfort him by accusing him of sinning against God. Why else, they reasoned, would a man find himself in such circumstances? But as God revealed to Job and his friends, sometimes God causes or allows circumstances that cause sorrow and sadness in our lives for His holy purposes. And sometimes, too, God doesn't even explain His reasons to us. The psalmist tells us, "As for God, His way is perfect." If God's ways are perfect, then we can trust that whatever He does and whatever He allows is also perfect. This may not seem possible to us, but our minds are not God's mind. It is true that we can't expect to understand His mind perfectly, as He reminds us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Sometimes God's perfect will includes sadness and sorrow for His children, but we can rejoice in that He never tests us beyond our ability to bear it, and always provides the way out from under the burden of sorrow we bear temporarily. No greater suffering has ever been experienced than that of Jesus. a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. His entire ministry was characterized by the sorrow he felt from the hardness and unbelief of men's hearts, from the opposition of the religious leaders, and even from the fickleness of his own disciples, not to mention from the temptations of Satan. The night before his crucifixion, he was exceedingly sorrowful unto death, as he contemplated the coming wrath and justice of God, which would fall upon him as he died for his people. So great was his agony that his sweat was as great drops of blood. Of course, the greatest sorrow of his life was when on the cross his Father hid his face from the Son, causing Jesus to cry out in agony, "Why have you forsaken me?" Surely no sadness experienced by any of us compares with that of the Savior. But just as Jesus was restored to the right hand of his Father after enduring sorrow, so can we be assured that through hardships and times of sadness, God uses adversity to make us more like Christ. While life among sinful humanity in this world will never be perfect, we know that God is faithful and that when Christ returns, sorrow will be replaced with rejoicing. But in the meantime, we use our sorrow to glorify God and rest in the Lord God Almighty's grace and peace. GodQuestions.org. Many things that seem to us to be problems and misfortune are, in fact, gifts from God, oddly packaged. A story is told of a woman who loved the Lord very much and wanted nothing more than to please him. "I'll gladly do whatever you ask," she promised, hoping secretly for some noble and noticed place of service. To her dismay, he handed her a heavy, rough, burlap sack and asked her to carry it as they walked through life together. She was curious about the contents of the sack, but it was wrapped tightly with a strong cord with many intricate knots. It was clear that it was not meant to be opened just yet. As they started on their way, the woman sank down under the weight of the burden. "It's too heavy," she protested. "My strength is made perfect in your weakness, and I will always be at your side," Jesus reassured her. "When the way gets too steep or you feel weak, lean on me." So they walked on together, and it was just as Jesus had said. Sometimes the woman stopped and told him that the weight was too much for her to bear, and so they bore it together. By and by, they arrived at their final destination. The woman set her bundle down at Jesus' feet and heaved a sigh of relief. Her burden-bearing days were over. "Come, my dear, let's see what's inside," Jesus said with a twinkle in his eye. With one stroke of his hand, the knots were undone, the sack fell open, and the contents spilled out. "The riches of heaven," the woman exclaimed, as her eyes feasted on treasures of unearthly beauty. "This is your eternal reward, which I have prepared for you. It's my gift to you in appreciation for all you have been through and suffered for me," Jesus explained. Astonishment turned to tears of joy. The woman fell at Jesus' feet and said, "O Lord, forgive me. I misunderstood all these years. If I had only trusted you and not doubted and questioned, if only I had understood what was inside the sack, it would have been a joy to carry it." Just so, the Lord may be preparing precious treasure for you as a reward for bearing the burden he has given you. You may look around and see others whose burdens appear to be much lighter than your own, and you may wish you could trade places. But if God were to grant you your wish, you may find that their burden would be even heavier and harder for you to carry than your own, for it was not meant for you. Each burden is tailor-made for its bearer, and is fashioned with the greatest of love and care. God knows exactly what's best for you. Trust Him. Shannon Shaler. Can we think it pleases His loving heart to cause us a moment's pain? Oh no, but He sees, through the present cross, the bliss of eternal gain. A.F. Engler. Thank you.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.